Are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he's written 10 books about video poker, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Richard W. Munchkin has played blackjack, backgammon, and poker professionally and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer, being joined by Richard Munchkin via telephone. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Bob.
Ah, good. I'm glad you're there. Richard lives a little north of Los Angeles, and sometimes he won't be coming into Las Vegas to do the show. This is the first week of the experiment of doing it by phone. Hopefully it goes well. We're using Gmail instant messaging back and forth during the interview, saying such profound things as, you ask the next question.
Right.
Hopefully the instant messaging doesn't devolve into, hey, you were supposed to let me answer that question, you dirty dog. Well, we'll see how it goes. Our guest tonight will be Vinny DiCarlo. Vinny has been a surveillance guy forever, like a quarter of a century, and has written the book called How to Beat Casino Surveillance, An Insider's Guide for Card Counter. Munchkin will be asking Vinny questions about from the blackjack player perspective, and I'm going to be asking him from the video poker player's perspective. 2 weeks ago, Munch and I had a guest, Annie Duke, who was just about to host the inaugural Epic Poker League tournament. Munchkin, what happened in that tournament?
Well, actually, there's quite a bit of controversy over the tournament.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the players that actually played in the tournament all seemed to have very positive things to say. They were all very happy. They apparently, you know, gave the league their feedback, and the league seemed very open to that. But there were two things that seemed to capture everybody's attention. One is the winner, a guy named Chino Ream,
uh-huh.
who is, well, one of poker's dirty little secrets is that many of these household names that you see playing poker on TV and are touted as, you know, top stars are often broke and owe everybody in town money. And apparently, you know, Chino Ream is one of those guys. And, so a lot of people were lined up to try to collect the money that he owes them. And Ben Lamb, who is at the final table for the World Series of Poker, I guess was lucky enough to collect all of what he was owed. But he said that most people were only getting about 10%. So It seems like a lot of the negative side is coming from people who were not playing in the event. The other thing that got a lot of attention was Daniel Negreanu, who declined to play in the event and very publicly said that he was not going to play in the event. Now, his claim, his reason for saying that he didn't want to play in it was that he didn't think the Epic Poker League would be successful, which seems a pretty crazy reason to forego a tournament, especially when the tournament is adding money into the prize pool.
Yeah, $400,000 added.
Yeah, yeah. So you have positive, even if you're an average with the whole crowd, you have positive EV because you're paying no entry fee and they're adding money. So, you know, many people seem to think that this has more to do with kind of an ongoing feud between Negreanu and Annie Duke that's gone back quite a few years. So, but those are the things that everybody's been talking about. And, you know, I'm happy to say that in 2 weeks, our guest is going to be Andy Block, professional poker player and former member of the MIT Blackjack team.
Yes.
And He was the only player who actually had a tournament card. I mean, he was eligible to enter the tournament, but rather than paying the $20,000, he entered through the Pro-Am, paying $1,500, and actually won his way into the main event. So he'll be here in 2 weeks.
There were several dozen players who tried that, and he was the only one successful.
Right, right. So we'll be able to talk to him all about that and his thoughts on the Epic Poker League, and that'll be in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Good. Looking forward to that. Last week, we started an open-ended discussion about money in casinos. We talked about lines of credit and traveling with money through airport security. A related topic is driving across the country while carrying large amounts of money. I think we both have things to say about that. Richard, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, you know, this is a topic that gathers a lot of interest on the Internet. There are a lot of postings about this kind of thing, and many, many people have been stopped driving across the country with money in their car. This is quite common in many states for police to do profiling and to pull people over on fishing expeditions and look for people with cash, and they often then confiscate the money, saying that it's drug money, because why else would anybody have a large amount of cash unless you're a drug dealer? And then it's up to the player to hire an attorney and prove that he's not a drug dealer and get his money back.
And if this was in Texas and he was just passing through, he may not want to go all the way back there for...
Yes, and actually Texas and Louisiana have been particularly egregious, often targeting immigrants and confiscating as little as $1,500 sometimes, where just the cost of hiring an attorney to get the money back, you know, is not worthwhile.
By immigrants, are you saying Latinos, Mexicans?
Yes, particularly Latinos.
Are they likely to be advantaged gamblers? In other words, of the gamblers who were going, say, between Vegas and New Orleans or something, I would assume a relatively small percentage of them would be Latino.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying that in Texas in particular, they have targeted Latinos just because it's easy to steal money from them, basically. But for advantaged gamblers, they're not looking for advantaged gamblers. They're looking for drug dealers. But what happens is people don't know their rights, and they get pulled over, often for a bogus charge. They say you were speeding when you weren't, or you didn't use your turn signal, or some, you know, for whatever reason. And then once they have you pulled over, they say things like, how much money are you carrying? And you don't mind if I search your car, do you?
And what's the correct answer to those questions?
Well, the correct answer is when they say, how much money? First of all, you ask, why have you pulled me over? And say they say it was for speeding. If they now say, are you carrying drugs or money? Your response should be, what does that have to do with speeding? And apparently there's been a Supreme Court ruling on this, that they are not allowed to go on these fishing expeditions. What you should do is say, am I free to go? Or write me a ticket, and then, you know, I'll be on my way. If they say, do you mind if I search your car? You tell them, I do not consent to a search. Now, what's happened to some advantage players is, they say, well, we're going to bring the drug dog. They bring a dog. They cue the dog to bark. When the dog barks, they say, that's probable cause. We now have the right to search your car. You can either wait here for 2 hours while we go to a judge and get a warrant, or you can let us search your car.
Uh-huh. And any large amount of $100 bills, there's going to be cocaine on there somewhere. It's just the nature of the money supply in this country.
Yes, yes. Now, one of the things that I really want to clarify the next time we have Bob on is...
Bob Nersessian.
Bob Nersessian, the attorney from last week, yes. He said that it was legal to record a conversation with a police officer, that is considered a public conversation, not a private conversation.
Uh-huh.
Some of the attorneys on the Internet are saying that is not the same in every state. So I don't know what is true there, but to cover yourself, I would definitely tell any police officer, you know, that pulls you over, by the way, on the advice of my attorney, I'm recording this conversation.
Uh-huh.
Now, if the officer says, turn off the recording, I don't know if they have the right to do that or not. And that's something that we'll talk to Bob more about when we have him back.
Uh-huh. So if you are traveling, though, and let's say you're taking $8,000 to gamble with, some such number,
mm-hmm.
I have heard that having a packet with you of information of old tax returns, W-2Gs, offers
gambling
from casinos.
In
other words, some kind of explanation that you are indeed a gambler, that gives you a reason to have money.
Yes. One of our listeners goes by the handle Machinist, and he had an incident just recently where he was pulled over by the DEA. And he had exactly that kind of a packet. So
uh-huh.
he had in there the cash, he had books about gambling, players' cards from different casinos, tax return, those kind of things. And the DEA told him that they actually said, when we searched your car, we found all this stuff. We don't think you're a drug dealer. We think you're a gambler. You know, and he said, yes.
Yes,
that's
I am.
Right. I'm
Good.
A gambler.
Guilty.
And, you know, and they did not confiscate his money. So it did take 3 hours of his time, but, you know, they did let him go, and, you know, and his money was not confiscated. So, but they told him,
uh-huh.
they told him that in Texas, if it's more than $10,000, it's automatically going to be confiscated, no matter what the story is.
So this tells you to hide it well, carry less than $10,000, or avoid driving through Texas.
Yeah, I think there aren't casinos in Texas. But, you know, I also I did read about one guy who went to his mechanic and had a safe welded into the trunk of his car that he would then cover with fishing tackle and things like that. And that's how he would, you know, carry his cash. He does a lot of driving around the country. So, you know, if you're driving around a lot, that sounds like a very good idea to me.
Okay, good. All right. So last time we talked a little bit about lines of credit. And two of the things that are true about lines of credit we didn't get a chance to talk about last week. One of them is in a few cases I've been invited to promotions because I had a line of credit. I would not have otherwise been invited, but I got an invitation simply because I had $20,000 or so line of credit, and the casino says anybody who's willing to sign up to so we could wager that kind of money is somebody we want to cultivate, so here you can come to this promotion. So so that's a tip for some people. Also, if you have a line of credit, they expect you to play to it. So if you have $20,000 line of credit and you only check out $1,000 at a time, then you're not really playing to your line of credit. So every 4, 6, 8 months or so, when you're going to be playing at that casino relatively heavily, take out all of it, basically. At the end of your session, give it back to them, or however much you have. If you lost and you have to mail them a check, so be it. But this will show on the record that, yes, you are using your line of credit, and you pay it back on time. And those are things on which they care about.
Yes. Yeah, good idea. And right now, interest rates are so low that it doesn't really matter. But, you know, a one-month free loan of $20,000 where you're gaining interest on it for a month, that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah. And it can be happening. It's good. All right. So right now we are waiting for Vinny DiCarlo. So Lawrence is ready to show me a sign. He's talking to somebody, and so he's not talking. Is Vinny all right? So apparently Vinny is on the line. So Munchkin, why don't you introduce our guest to Vinny DiCarlo?
Okay, our guest tonight, Vinny DiCarlo, has been in the casino industry for 30 years. He was both an Advantage player and worked almost every job you can think of on the casino side, from valet parking cars to dealer to management. But the majority of his time he spent in surveillance rooms. He's the author of How to Beat Casino Surveillance, and he writes a regular column for the Blackjack Insider, which you can find at bjinsider.com, and get a you can get a free 3-month trial at bjinsider.com/free trial. So, Vinny DiCarlo, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Ah, you're very welcome.
Hi, Bob.
I'm a video poker player, and a lot of our audience are video poker players. So, how should they be concerned about different things in table games players insofar as surveillance goes?
Well, no, not really. And the reason I say that is it's kind of the other way around. You know, they really have nothing to fear from surveillance. As surveillance is actually working to protect them, they have open door alarms and sealed chip sets inside, and if a jackpot should hit, they have to be verified.
When the jackpot hits.
Exactly. So there's a lot of checks and rechecks in there to verify that the machines are on the up and up.
So basically, because the machine's on top of everything, surveillance largely ignores the video poker machines unless there's a problem. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, because we have computers in the surveillance room that allows us to, that sets off an alarm and gives us a location if there's something wrong or a malfunction or somebody's tilting the machine or trying to break the arm off of it or bust the buttons out of it. You know, if there's any kind of a rough action or anything happening on this machine, it will send an alarm to the surveillance room.
Uh-huh. Very good.
It'll tell
But for the on the square video poker player just trying to, you know, make some money playing with an edge at video poker, surveillance really isn't concerned with him at all.
No, not at all. Absolutely not.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I want to 30 years ago, the biggest fear for table game players was the Griffin Agency. And since that time, there's been Surveillance Information Network and Biometrica and Oregon Surveillance Network, all these networks coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah.
Who's up, who's down, who's actually someone we need fear, and who don't?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of merging and takeovers and so on that's been happening. And what's happened is some of the larger casino properties have made their own information loop, such as, you know, the Big Green and the Mirage Mandalay type. And they take information from all these other groups, and they keep it for themselves, as well as they have their own information that they share from each property. And we're talking, you know, Detroit and Atlantic City and Las Vegas and Prim, so on and so forth. So they gather all this information. They kind of hog it for themselves. So what's happening is there's just like splinter groups, if you would, of information. And most of them are keeping all the information that they can to themselves. They're not wanting to share it with anybody else.
Well, that's good for the player.
Absolutely, absolutely. But say, oh, a good Advantage player gets nailed at say, the MGM Grand. His face is going to be in every single one of their properties within an hour. And it's going to be a very, very good picture of that individual. If not,
really?
A picture of their vehicle as well. Yes, absolutely. They are linked. Every single property is linked.
No, the part that surprises me is that the picture is going to be of good quality, because usually the surveillance pictures I see are, you know, basically of the top of a baseball hat.
Exactly. But no, they've got much better cameras now. They get the Pelco megapixel cameras. You're talking like 5 or 6 megapixels. So they could take a shot from you from across the whole arena and be able to still blow it up to a decent size and get all the facial features out of it. So the cameras have come a long, long way.
That's not good.
No, that's a bad thing. That would be a bad thing.
Okay. Now, your book covers what the surveillance is like at Treasure Island or at Aria or at Cosmopolitan or at Wynn, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that information is necessarily dated. The whatever's true about surveillance at Mirage in 2011 won't be true in, say, 2018. So was this book a one-shot deal, or do you plan to update it on a regular basis?
Well, actually, it was a one-shot deal because it just happened to work that that I knew somebody in almost every single one of those joints, and they were willing to share the information with me. As far as it being dated, funny thing is that the accountants, that the bean counters that run those places, they're real tight on their money. So a lot of the information will stay true for a few years, and there's really not too much they can do about it because they don't have the money or the funds to change anything that I've actually discussed. You know, they're not going to hire more people, as you see the trend in Atlantic City, where they termed pretty much most of the floor people. That's catching on in Las Vegas now. So, like, for example, where I talk about Circus,
mm-hmm.
and there's like one person watching 12 tables, and you know, and he's working on his watch at the podium. You know, there's going to be a time when there's going to be no people in that podium or walking around there. They're cutting back so bad right now that the book's becoming more and more usable. Does that make sense to you?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. So how many people are in one of the big clubs like MGM Bellagio or Caesars? How many people are in the surveillance room on a shift?
Well, usually there's two people on any given weekday, and you can get as many as four people on a weekend. Now, they'll have a staff, say, of about 12 people, and their times. They alternate their times from all the rest of the casino employees, and they have their own entrance, or they utilize a different entrance. They park in a different area. You know, they try to keep them separate as much as possible. But as your question, usually you have a crew of about 12 to 14 people, you know, a couple of part-timers that run a typical surveillance room. In Illinois now, they have requirements of almost 24 to 27 employees, which is outrageous. But it's true. They have a few dozen employees, and they have to watch everything. They have to have complete camera coverage of every single slot machine on the floor and somebody watching it. And then they have a state patrol or state police officer that's retired that sits in the casino also in his own little office, and he's watching the surveillance crew. So it's overkill in my opinion.
Well, two people in a casino the size of MGM Grand seems underkill. They have, I don't know, 100 gaming tables and 3,000 machines and two guys.
But on a weekday, you figure probably about maybe 42, 43 tables are open.
Okay.
And they have, or they used to, I'm not sure now, but they had good floor people, and they were under the guise that the floor people were the ones watching the games and surveillance were the backup. So if the floor person saw something bad happen, then he would go ahead and call surveillance, and surveillance would verify that something bad happened.
Okay.
But now it's, you know, they don't even have a boxman anymore. They rely solely on surveillance. So the times could have changed to where they're hiring more surveillance people, but with all the kickbacks and the cutouts that are going on, with all these employees losing jobs, I really don't think so. And that's the word I'm getting down the pipe is, you know, there's only two people in the room now.
Interesting. Now we're going to switch to video poker again. Let's assume I'm playing, and I leave the machine, and I accidentally leave $300 to $400 in credits on the machine.
Okay.
Come back 5 minutes later, and lo and behold, the money is gone.
Okay. You're an idiot.
Huh?
You're an idiot.
Yeah, good. I would be saying worse to myself. Now, so I go to security, and so let's – now the first question is how many slot – what percentage of these video poker machines in a Vegas casino could they focus in on and see that there was, say, $335 in credit when I left? That's kind of a small number, but they would
very
have...
Very small. It'd probably be under 9%.
Okay, so a small number, a higher percentage in the high limit room, presumably a smaller...
Absolute.
..on the floor, all right?
Correct.
Good. So then the guy... So they look at the camera, and they see that it's a guy in a blue jacket and a red baseball cap.
Yes.
And he's currently over on the craps table.
Okay.
What would be the typical result? Now, they don't want to tell me because they don't want me going out and trying to get hurt trying to beat the crap out of the guy. But but would they tell him to give the money back? Would they ask him? Would they suggest? Would they just tell me, you're an idiot?
No, they would go as far as holding the individual, calling gaming, and they would verify the machine and how much money was in there and how much money he took out, because you can audit almost any machine.
Mm-hmm.
It'll tell you what it paid out last or the last 13 rounds or whatever the case may be, depending on the machine type. But especially in Nevada now, the gaming enforcement agents there, they'll come out and they'll bend over backwards to help the customer, because the last thing they want is one individual going back to Nantucket and saying, yeah, I had a horrible time, I won four bills, and somebody stole it, and nobody would help me get it back.
And of course,
now, I've seen it, yeah, actually, at the MGM Grand, I've seen it where somebody lost like $200 or $300, and they just pulled it out of the petty money fund out of the cage and gave it back to them because they were a good player.
And a good player means someone who loses regularly.
That's correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. That's
what we mean by good players.
Guys. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but that's the kind of smart thinking that you really don't see casinos doing very often. I mean, that's exactly what they should do, is, you know, make the guy happy. It costs him $200 or $300, which the guy's probably going to blow anyway. But so
Absolutely.
Many casinos are tied up in bureaucracy that nobody will take the heat of saying, yeah, I authorize you to go get this money out of the cage.
Right. That's God's honest truth. Nobody wants to take that step. But
yeah,
there was some good ones there years ago. And I'm talking, 8, 9 years ago. There was some good floor people that would take that step. And they would look at the player and verify their past history with that property, and they could also look and see what their history was at their sister properties. And, this is a guy we don't want to lose, or a girl. So, it's worth it to give them what they said they lost. A lot of times on table games as well, the guy, we'll say it's a wheel game, and the dealer marks the wrong number and wipes the whole table down. Now, all of a sudden, everybody on the table claims to have had a bet on the correct number.
Uh-huh.
And you have to really decipher it. This is where surveillance really comes in handy. You have to decipher each and every individual's move and body language and so on and so forth, because you usually just kind of have a good overhead shot. And sometimes you have to take the player into consideration and say, well, yeah, this person's been playing all night, dropping $100 bills left and right. Go ahead and pay him whatever he says that he's got coming. Just pay him, keep him happy, keep him satisfied, and keep him coming back. So these are like off-the-cuff calls that a good floor or pit supervisor or pit manager would make. So as far as the video poker or the slot machines, they all have a different, what we call candles on the top, that tell us a different thing. And if, say, from a far shot, we can see that you got up and left, Bob, and then Richard sat down and then took your money, and you went and said, hey, this is the machine I was playing at right here. And we see that in a background shot, a far shot, but we can see it. We'll get a description of Richard, and we'll definitely call gaming, and we'll even burn it on a disc or on the VCR tape, what have you.
Got to watch out for that Richard guy.
Look at that. Oh, you better believe it.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll actually search the casino for him. And if we can find him, then we will take him into custody and hold him for gaming.
Boy, you're in trouble now.
You wouldn't just ask first, like, hey, you took this money out of the machine, give it back? Or
See, the main thing is to get the individual off the casino floor, because you don't want them making a scene.
Right,
that happens,
okay.
And you get other people to get scared and want to leave. time and say, hey, dispute was settled. There's no more dispute. And they're happy with that.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
They don't mind, you know, having driven halfway there. That doesn't bother them. They were just driving around anyway.
So new players always seem to be worried about facial recognition software.
Okay.
Anything to it?
You know, years ago, when it was, you know, a fresh young baby in the whole mix, it scared a lot of people. And I used to get calls all the time. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's all in the grave. It's over. The truth has been realized. And the reason I say this is...
And what truth is that?
Pardon?
And what truth is that has been realized?
Well, for example, they had the whole system set up at an airport, you know, during the height of the terrorist action that was going on. And, I mean, this was an elaborate system that they set up at an airport. And they had it up for probably 2 or 3 days, and they realized it didn't work. You had to stop each and every individual, and they pretty much had to stick their head in a picture frame and then just wait like 5 or 6 seconds and see if or not, you know, this person was a terrorist. It just didn't work. They had that down in 3 days, the feds did. And they went back to the dogs and you know, the metal detectors and just searching everybody. It didn't work. I mean, it really didn't work.
Okay.
And they had a thing on TV once. I think it was History Channel or something like that, A&E, where they actually, I think they were at the Bellagio, and they were trying to really show this thing off, and they took the cameraman, and they actually took a picture of him, just a fair square picture, as we used to call a mugshot, and they put it into their database and incorporated it, and then told him to go downstairs and play on the games, which he did. Well, it took about 9 minutes for this system thinking after they had taken a good shot of him and had him on camera, had all the pinpoints registered. It took still about almost 9 minutes for this computer deal to decipher who it was or who he was. And then it came back as an inconclusive and showed 24 possible matches, and not one of them was this guy. So I've seen it. I've seen everything make a fool out of itself, put it that way.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it
like
fail numerous ways.
It seems like an advantage play for the company. They found a way to suck money out of the casino. Although,
you know, there's no shortage of those people, trust me.
Back to video poker. assuming I got a hand-paid jackpot, say $2,000.
Okay.
And... at some casinos, when they get ready to pay me, I will say, just hand me the money. And mm-hmm. sometimes they do, and sometimes yeah. they say, no, we have to count it all out because of the eye in the sky. Now, that sounds like malarkey to me, or maybe they have trust issues. What's going on here?
It is malarkey. It's a way of being fake friendly, and it's a way for the word to get out to the cocktail waitresses so they can bum rush you and try to be that fake friendly nice so that, you know, they count the money out to you, and even if it's an even amount, they'll break that hundred down, that last hundred down
yes, they
to
will.
Almost dollar bills so that you will be able to give them a nice spiff, a nice toke or a tip. So it is total BS. If it's a very large jackpot, they will notify surveillance, and surveillance will verify that it was hit by the person that is collecting the money and not actually watch the person collecting the money, but the person that's claiming that he hit that jackpot. Because as you know, many years ago, where Caesar's Palace, there was a miner that hit a major jackpot, and then he just kind of hit it for a while until his father got in there, and he traded places with his father, and that went on for almost 10 years in court. And Caesars won the case. You know, the guy was underage when he hit the, I think it was $2 million jackpot. And Caesars did not have to pay him.
Wow.
So that's kind of the reason behind surveillance verifying who hit that jackpot. But as far as the payoff, no, we got absolutely nothing to do with that. We don't care. We know you won, and someone's going to pay you, and that's it. And I'll tell you honestly, there's not good enough camera coverage in those places to zoom down to verify the payoff, you know, bill for bill. So it's a scam. It's just an internal scam that the employees use to try to get a jackpot payoff from you,
uh-huh.
you know, as a toke. Make you feel like they're really working
That's
at
right.
it.
That's right. They
to
call
pay
me
you.
Mr. D, so they could, so I feel important.
Absolutely.
Is there much communication or affiliation between the surveillance room and the security staff? And does surveillance have any say in how surveillance treats the players that they're going to bar or that they're going to 86? And how do they decide whether it's just a back off or an 86 or whatever?
Well, that's usually between surveillance and the floor or the CSM, the casino shift manager. They'll discuss with them, and usually surveillance will make the call. They'll say, look, this guy's really hot. He's killing us here, and he's made no mistakes. This is not a person you want playing on your table. And then the casino shift manager will say, well, what do you think? Should we just back him off, or should we 86 him? And then surveillance, with all their records and pictures and times and of events and so on and so forth, will say, well, we've backed him off three times, and now he's back, you know, with a lousy haircut, trying to look like someone else. Let's just 86 him. And then they will do that on the word of surveillance. As far as surveillance and security goes, it's like a marriage from hell. They don't get along. Neither one of them think that the other one belongs there. They fight over everything, especially around when the budget comes out, because security wants more cameras so they can watch back of the house. But they always want to see just a little bit more. You know, they want to be able to see some parts of the casino, and surveillance really. They're really particular about their cameras and their coverage, and they just want to be able to see what they see. And it's just a lot of scrapping going on between those two departments. I've seen it, and this is God's honest truth. I've seen it in casinos where they've seen a card counter, and actually a famous card counter that I think you actually even had on your show. And surveillance agreed not to call down on them because they were afraid that security would overreact and actually be kind of cruel to this individual. And then we'd be all over the newspapers. And so we just said, you know, mum's the word, man. Just leave him be.
Wow. He wasn't
even wearing a Santa Claus outfit that time?
No, not that time.
Oh, well, he was kicked out when he was wearing a Santa Claus outfit
yes,
one
he was,
time.
I know.
So, but anyway, I don't know who you're talking about. Now, are there any red flags for surveillance, such as if somebody wearing a baseball cap cut down low, or sunglasses, or hoodies, or blah, 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 blah? Are those red flags?
Yes, they are. You know, it could be somebody wearing like a trench coat in the middle of summer, or a guy with here's your typical surveillance red flag. You have an individual sitting at the anchor spot on, like, say, a BJ table. We'll cover that real quick, and then we'll go to video poker and so on. But his hand is covering his face and a ball cap pulled down to his nose, and he's got like a Corona beer with water in it. You know, he dumped it out. But water, I've seen it, trust me. I've seen it. These are the people that...
You can tell the color from the eye in the sky whether it's water or beer in the bottle?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact...
They should use dark bottles then.
Absolutely.
Don't use them.
In fact, the glasses that they serve you a drink in, we can tell from upstairs whether it's a soft drink or if it's a hard drink. And we know...
By the straws.
Yep, the straws will give it away every time.
Uh-huh. So,
see, I always use O'Doul's but have it poured in a glass. So I've got a glass of beer.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Uh-huh. And what kind of straws do you have in your beer, Munchkin?
Four of them.
Four of them?
Yeah, so it goes down faster.
Okay. Now, we're running out of time.
Okay.
So last question is, how do people get copies of your book?
Oh, that would be through...
BJinsider.com.
If you go to BJinsider.com, you can get like a 3 months free, and I also write articles for them all the time. It's Henry Tambrin's site.
Uh-huh.
And, well, Richard, you know the ploy on this?
Yep,
know
the
all
book.
The information.
Yep, yeah. As he said, the book is at bjinsider.com, and you can get a 3-month free trial at bjinsider.com/free trial.
And if you're an advantage blackjack player who plays in Las Vegas, this is pretty serious information that you should have. And even if you don't play in Las Vegas, the kind of information about the differences between them, and it kind of gives you some cubby holes to compare different places so that when you gather information, you can put them in a cubby hole.
Absolutely. Yep. You kind of walk into the place prepared. And I'm pretty sure you're going to see exactly what I've noted in the books. You're going to see exactly what I'm telling you to look for. And
you promise we're going to see a fire on top of Palace Station because you talked about that in your book.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I did.
I'm messing with you.
I did witness that. It's true.
All right.
We actually had to call them and tell them, hey, your roof's on fire.
They probably didn't believe you.
True. It was April 1st.
All right. Thank you very much, Vinny DiCarlo.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Vinny.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
So that was interesting. What did we learn from that?
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing we learned is that don't have straws in your drinks. You know,
or learn the code, whether for you should be able to tell quickly once you know that the straws are a code, what kind of straws are in alcoholic drinks and what kind of straws are in Shirley Temple's.
Right. And, you know, I have to say that even though a ball cap may be a red flag, it may be a red flag, but to me the alternative is worse because, you know, with the ball cap on, the picture just is not going to be as good as with the ball cap off, you know. So it may draw some unwanted attention, but it's going to be a worse picture that they get, you know, if they do send your picture around.
Uh-huh. And one of the things I learned is that if I'm an idiot and leave money on the machine, they just might help me get it back. And I've heard of cases where the casino said, you're an idiot. And they didn't get him back, or they gave him back a small portion. And this was a good player, friend of mine, who just didn't get the money. And they knew who took it, but they wouldn't get it back. Interesting.
Really? They wouldn't give it to him?
That's the story, and I'm fuzzy on the details, and I don't want to talk about what casino it was or something, but that's what I understand.
Okay. Some night when we have more time, I'll tell you about the story in Moscow where a guy took some chips from me and they told me they would try to get them back.
This is Moscow, Idaho. I didn't know they had casinos in Moscow, Idaho.
No, this was Russia.
Uh-huh.
And trust me, if you think security guards are scary in Las Vegas, you should see what they're like in Russia.
Yeah, we had a story, somebody you know, although when he's on the show, you use the name Mark Dace.
Oh, yeah. Mark,
and sure. He had his Russian story, although I think it was Kiev and not Moscow. Let me talk a little bit about our sponsors, and then we got some more things if we have time after that.
Okay.
South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody anywhere else in the world. The August promotion is called $900,000 Cash is King Everyday Giveaway. In this promotion, there's a drawing every night at 9:20 for 10 winners. First prize is $10,000, doubled if you get there within 10 minutes. And second through 10th prizes are $1,000 each. You can earn up to 250 drawing tickets a day. You need to play $1,250 through the machine to get it. And when you activate, you get 5 additional tickets. The tickets stay in the drum all month. So if you've been in there 10 days, then that's 2550 tickets. This is a low roller promotion if you live close to there. Playing $1,250 is not out of the range for most players. Near the end of the month, if you've been playing every day, your equity goes up. Because like now, Shirley and I have like 400 tickets in the drum. are 4,000 tickets in the drum. So probably our equity every day in this $10,000 drawing is $20 or $30 to be there. It's getting so it makes sense equity-wise to show up for that extra shot at $10,000. Likelihood is we're not going to win because it's just either extra $10,000 or zero, and it's going to be zero most of the time. But it's enough. You're going to win percentage-wise enough of the time. Getting near the end of the month, it makes sense to do it. My next semester of free video poker classes at the South Point takes place Wednesday, August 31st. So that is 2 weeks from yesterday. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The new class this semester is NSU Deuces Wild Advanced. So we've been teaching NSU for a long time, but this is the bands. These are the penalty card situations. And even if NSU isn't your main game, listening to the way the penalty card situations go down help you master some of the other games. You learn why some straight penalties are more harmful to certain hands than other straight penalties. So if you wish to master any game, you might want to consider going to the advanced NSU class. The Palms. The Palms is giving away a 2011 Mercedes-Benz E350 this month. The way it works on Fridays and Saturdays at 7 p.m., they pull 10 winners. The top five get either somewhere between $500 and $1,500 and the drawing ticket for the final. The next five get $250 in cash, no a final drawing ticket. The final will be August 27th, and following the drawing, there'll be up to 40 people with tickets. And one of those people is going to get a Mercedes. It has a retail value of $55,000 and change. You can take a cash option of $44,000. I played real heavily. I was in the drawing, both drawings last weekend. Very hopeful of getting called twice. I did get called once, which was good news and bad news. I mean, being called once is great. Being called twice is better. So you can bet I'll be there for the August 27th. Just being called once, your equity is more than $1,000. It's usually zero, but one in 40 times, it's $44,000 in cash or a $55,000 car. They have their Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, PEW, play, earn, and win. Last part of the month is barbecue theme. So this is Omaha Steaks, barbecue grill, charcoal, tongs, apron, those kind of things. The M. At the M, which promotion is going on depends on which day of the week it is. On Mondays, they have a mystery multiplier. It's 1x, 2x, or 3x for video poker and up to 10x for slots. And it's a day where you have to go in to pick up your free play anyway. So it starts at noon. So going in 10 o'clock in the morning to do your free play, which would be convenient to some people, perhaps, you're not going to get your multiplier. So I yelled at the slot director and the marketing director for that, and they assured me that next time they do this, it will be what their casino day is, which I think starts at 3 a.m. On Wednesdays, they also have a drawing at 6 p.m. where 40 names get called for cash and free play, and 10 people get dining certificates at either Anthony's or Marnelli's. Top prize is $10,000. And a total of $17,000 is given away. You don't have to be present to win, but you need to be there before 7 p.m. or you forfeit it. They also have a senior slot tournament on Wednesdays. Fridays, they have hot seat drawings. 4, 6, 8, and 10 o'clock. Each time, 10 winners get a total of $3,600 in free slot play. And another 10 winners get food at Anthony's or Marnelli's. To be eligible to win, you play 250 points sometime before the drawing and have your card in the machine at the time of the drawing. So the same 250 points can work for all four drawings should you want to hang around and do it. This is definitely a low roller type of drawing, and you could get lucky. All right, that's it for our sponsors. So Richard, who is Al Francesco, and how come he's going to be on our show next week?
Well, in 1976, Ken Houston wrote a book called The Big Player.
Yes.
Where he told the story of how he was recruited by a professional blackjack team run by the mysterious Al Francesco. Al Francesco was the inventor of the concept, the big player, where card counters would sit at tables around the casino betting very small money and secretly signal a big player to come in when the count got good. And the big player would show up and bet a lot of money into the big counts. So Al was the inventor of that move. He was the guy who, to his chagrin, hired Ken Houston, which I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about. So he's been a
so Kenny's dead now, so Al can say whatever he wants, I guess.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, I think a lot of people learned to count cards because of books that Ken Houston wrote. So a lot of people that didn't know him or play with him held him in very high regard.
Yes. I'm one of them. He inspired me. Million Dollar Blackjack. I didn't copy the title of my book, Million Dollar Video Poker, from Kenny Houston, but Million Dollar Blackjack was on my bookshelf. And
Actually, it was on mine, too, and I very much like that style of book that's not just about how-to, but also intersperses the stories of, you know, the team play and the life that go along with it. So, anyway, Al has been a player since the 60s. He traveled and played with Lawrence Revere. He actually bankrupted a casino in France. He, in the 90s, came out of retirement and formed an ace sequencing team. So he's had his hands in lots and lots of different forms of advantage play, and he was the first player inducted into the Blackjack Hall of Fame, somebody who had not written any books. He was just brought in because he was a player. He should be quite interesting. I'm very excited that he'll be with us.
Yeah, I'm interested in how the big player concept transform from the way Ken Houston did it to the MIT Blackjack team, which is because when I saw the movie 21, it looked like they were using the big player method, and so
They were they definitely were. So you know, Andy Block, who will be on the following week, was part of that MIT Blackjack team.
Yes, he was.
And so we'll be able to talk to him about the differences between the way Al and Ken Houston were doing it and the way the MIT team was doing it.
All right. So we're nearing the end. We have about a minute left. This is our first time with the show of me in Vegas and you in Southern California. It's unfortunately, it worked well enough that we'll probably do it again. It's so much nicer to have you right here so I can give you signs and stuff. But now we have this text messaging and we had no
fun. Which we didn't even use.
Huh?
Yeah. Which we didn't even use.
Well, yeah, I just sent you a message. 1 minute. So, good. But I think it went well. So I'm glad. And this is
I guess I should just say that in the week after Al Francesco, we are going to have Fezzik, the sports bettor.
Sports betting legend.
Sports betting legend, yeah.
Yeah, so. I was on his radio show like 3 times back when he had a daily show. And good.
Daily.
So I'm looking forward a lot to that. So we got 5 seconds. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes. And Munchkin, I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard W. Munchkin are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
My name is Jeffrey Burke, and I'm the host of the Staying Healthy Show here on KLAV. The Staying Healthy Show is now on KLAV 10 times per week. 10 times for you to hear the best guest in the industry and learn about the best nutritional products available for your good health. You can hear my show weekday mornings at 8 and a new show again at 5. Both shows are drive time for your listening pleasure. The show is sponsored by Stay Healthy Health Food Store, located at 840 South Rancho Drive in the Rancho Town and Country Center on the northwest corner of Charleston and Rancho. The hours of the store are Monday through Friday from 9 to 7 p.m., Saturdays 9 to 6, and closed on Sundays. Wayne Rudolph built his store with three principles in mind: great products and selection, a knowledgeable staff, and memorable service every time you visit his store. Please tune into the Staying Healthy Show 10 times per week here on KLAV. I'm looking forward to chatting with all of you and helping you get healthy, be healthy, and stay healthy.
Now there's a show just for managers, professionals, and executives. This is Doug Pilarski, host of the Talent Managers Journal radio show. We'll be talking about all aspects of leading and managing people in business. We ask the question, what are you doing with all that talent? Tune in Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. and enjoy Talent Manager's Journal, brought to you by Sawyer TMS, only on AM 1230 KLAV.
My name's Chris, and I'm a bug guy.
My name is Mike, and I too am a bug guy.
Join us every Tuesday at 3 p.m. for our show, What's Bugging Ya?
Now, we know spiders, scorpions, and cockroaches may not be your favorite thing to talk about, but we know what's crawling around your house, and you need to know how to protect you and your family from these home invaders.
You won't believe some of the things we have found in Vegas homes and businesses, and we're going to share these stories with you live on the radio.
And we'll give you the information that some of the other pest control companies don't want you to know.
Preventive Pest Control is the best in the business, and we know bugs. So be sure to listen in every Tuesday at 3 p.m. for What's Bugging You.
Oh, and be sure to check under the bed.
Preventive Pest Control's What's Bugging You, Tuesday afternoon at 3.
Hey there, lovebirds. This is Brian Mills for the Viva Las Vegas Wedding Show. Join me every Wednesday from 3 to 4 right here on KLAV as we talk all things weddings in Las Vegas. We have traditional weddings, Elvis weddings, theme weddings, receptions, helicopter weddings. It's all right here from 3 to 4 on KLAV. The Viva Las Vegas Wedding Show is brought to you by the Viva Las Vegas Wedding Chapel. Check out all their wedding packages on VivaLasVegas.com.
This is Dr. Robert Earle. I'm a local dentist here in Las Vegas and have been practicing dentistry for 35 years. We want to invite you to join us every Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock for a new show called Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earle. We will be answering questions and talking about the latest technology in dentistry and giving you the answers to your questions about dental concerns.
Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earle, Wednesday afternoons at 4.
Free Football Pick Show covers the spread and crushes your book each week in college and NFL football. I'm your host, D4, along with my top handicappers, bringing you free picks and game analysis that win you money against the spread. Know who to take this weekend and score big. Listen Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on KLAV.
Take it to the bank. It's the Free Football Pick Show, Saturday mornings at 10.
Hi, this is Vandana Chima of Exit Realty Chima Group. Join Brandon Roberts and I every Thursday at 11 a.m. on KLAV for our show, Real Estate Exposed, the Exit Realty Radio Show, where we discuss all things real estate, including foreclosures, short sales, loan modification, credit restoration, how to buy at the auction, and much, much more. Listen every Thursday at 11 a.m. to the Real Estate Exposed Show on KLAV 1230 a.m.
You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Bring on you.
Love us on radio, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.